What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You're listening to the Washington Football Talk Podcast. A lot happening with the Washington football team as we're in the thick of it now. They've already played a preseason game. They got to make their first batch of cuts Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Plenty to discuss who's coming, who's going. This is the Washington Football Talk Podcast.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. We're brought to you by Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the exact same thing. I literally have bought four different cars from them. OrsmanVA.com, six locations across Northern Virginia. They will take good care of you. Joined, as always, by Pete Haley and Mitch Tischler. We all had a weekend to ourselves. Pete went to Michigan. I had my daughter's sixth birthday. The big man was working, though. You were here yesterday.
I was here at practice yesterday.
Holding it down.
Holding it down for the NBC Sports Washington crew. Not a lot really went on. My big takeaway from yesterday was just watching Jarrett Patterson doing a bunch of one-on-one passing drills, pass pro, and he held up strong, man. He looked really good. Nice, solid base. Obviously, you know, wasn't perfect, but with his size, you would think that, you know, folks would be able to bull rush him a little bit, especially some of those linebackers that are a little bit bigger than him, and he held up well. I thought that was a big takeaway for him.
How did Curtis Samuel look? Only in individual drills, but nice to see him, I would assume.
It was good to see him out on the field. He only did individual drills, like you said. Yesterday, he took part in the passing tree part of individual drills with the quarterbacks. Today, with the rain, he did not because they didn't want to mess up that groin or test it any further than he had to. He looked good. I mean, he certainly was running around without a hitch. I mean, it's tough to glean too much from individual drills, but it was good to see him with his pads on, running around, and to see that 10 chasing in the wind.
Great. Well, thank you for holding it down for
us. It's funny. I wasn't expecting the yesterday practice report, but I enjoyed it.
No, it's good because some people were asking about the pod yesterday, and I think there is a great way to catch him up quickly with the Mitch Tischler recap.
The defense dominated. The defense had maybe a half dozen picks or so, and mostly on Taylor Heinicke. Most of them were, I would say, pretty bad throws that were just intercepted, not a lot of tip balls or balls that seemed to be in a good spot, and just a lot of interceptions.
I just came up with this. There's Heinicke. And then there's Heinicke. And yesterday sounds like the latter.
Did you want to explain that to us, or you're good with that?
I'm good with that one.
All right, good.
Yeah.
That's a good one, Pete.
Thank you. You want to be the former, not the latter.
Certainly. So today's practice was just heavy rain. It was dumping rain when we got out here. Ron wanted him out there in the elements. I don't think the rain really made much of an impact one way or the other on the practice. I thought Fitz looked really good in 2 minute. Outside of that, it was fairly
standard.
Yeah, I don't want to say pedestrian because I think it was a good practice. A lot of picks. Kyle Allen's back. Hadn't talked about that. Kyle Allen threw a bunch of picks. Seemed like he was kind of forcing it and not quite all the way back yet. Heinicke threw a couple. Samus Reyes is really starting to grind. The three things I have on my list I wanted to talk about is the release of Kelvin Harmon, obviously, the release of Lamar Miller, and I want to talk some tight ends. So if there's anything else to discuss before we get to that, fire away.
Yeah, just with the practice being out in the rain, there's going to be a faction of people that say, yeah, it'll toughen them up to be out in the rain. And then the other half is like, oh, no, somebody might get injured. They spent a buttload of money on redoing the practice fields this offseason with the express purpose of being able to practice when there's inclement weather. And I think that today was a great first test for it. The field held up well. Ron talked about on the podium that, you know, you didn't see guys slip. It wasn't muddy. It wasn't all torn up like you would expect maybe after the downpour, the deluge of rain that we saw over the last 24 hours. So hats off to the field and the crew that makes it go.
Mitch is on fire early today. I'm loving
flawless.
The
flawless. Flawless. Flawless.
Yes, hats off to the crew indeed. Field looks great. They're tending to it as we speak. And also my couple notes before we get to JP's topics. Tressway came to the podium, gave some really good in-depth inside explanations as to what makes a field goal operation smooth. I'm going to be writing about that for our website, NBC Sports Washington. So hopefully by the time you hear this, that will be posted. If not, I plan for it to go up on Tuesday morning. So check that out. And I had another one, and I kind of forgot it. So, JP, take it away.
Clearly an important one.
The Benjamin St. Juice one-handed interception.
That was sick. Have they posted a video of that?
Not yet, but I'm sure they will, and I can't wait to retweet the bleep out of it.
Yeah. Terry McLaurin was going one-on-one against St. Juice in the red zone, kind of got a little bit behind him right near the corner, the front corner of the end zone, and St. Juice turned right as the ball was in the air, jumped up, and snagged it with that bear claw.
I think Mitch just wanted to work bear claw in there. It was cool.
That was my nickname in high school.
I believe that. I think I knew that. In the 2 minute, when Fitz connected with Logan on the short touchdown, like the 2 yarder or whatever, I was right there. It's kind of fun. So I get to do like pseudo play by play when I'm on the radio doing it.
Workshop it.
And
woodwork it.
Woodwork it, yeah. Humphreys made such a good play on that. It's the kind of thing that nobody would talk about, but Humphreys completely created that touchdown with just like the hard route down, rubbing that linebacker, and Logan was just that was a walk-in six. That leads me to our wide receiver discussion. Understandably, I guess, a lot of folks were upset that the Washington football team released Kelvin Harmon. Feel how you need to feel. I'm not here to gauge anyone's emotions, but there shouldn't be surprise by it. Kelvin Harmon hadn't been getting any work besides the third team. This team has to cut to 85 by Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Let's get a timestamp guy for timestamp guy. It's 2:12 on Monday the 16th. Ron's giving Harmon a chance to catch on somewhere else. Harmon is big and tough and physical, but he's slow. And you can't be slow in the NFL unless you're elite at something else. And he was drafted by Bruce. I think Harmon could play. I think the knee injury was obviously a huge setback. He's a nice young man. He's an extremely hard worker, humble dude. I wish him nothing but the best. But I don't think he was making the roster. So release him now. You're helping him out.
Yeah, and this was a guy who, had he not gotten injured, had a somewhat decent shot of being the number two wideout last year, and that speaks to the upgrades at the position overall, that the guy who could have been a starter just got cut before like the first round of cuts even needed to be done. So it's just it's a much harder team to make this year compared to last year, and that's good for Washington, unfortunately bad for Harmon. But yeah, I think he'll be scooped up elsewhere because he did show enough as a rookie to get a couple more shots.
He also came back from a fairly major surgery and just didn't look to be the same receiver in speed and route running that we saw 2 years ago. That's not to say that he can't get back there and can't be a productive NFL player, but to this date in this camp with the group of wide receivers that are here, he wasn't going to make the cut.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, it doesn't really provide much clarity on who that six wideout's going to be. Terry, Curtis, Humphreys, Diami, Cam are pretty damn firm in various levels of firm. The first four are locks. Cam, I think, is standing on very solid ground. He's standing on a table with four solid legs made of oak.
He could maybe jump a decent height and feel like the table will hold him up when he lands.
Yeah. Who's your sixth right now? I kind of think it might be AGG because they drafted him. I kind of think it might be DeAndre Carter. I know you like Sims, Steve Sims. I don't know yet. I think we still got a couple more weeks, and that's why they're going to keep grinding out these preseason games.
I have AGG number one, again, just because of the draft pick status. Don't know if he's played the best. Number two, Steve Sims. Number three, Dax Milne. I think DeAndre Carter's faded quite a bit. I know he had a couple good punt returns there in New England.
He had a touchdown today.
Yeah, but overall, I think he's fourth now on my rankings of those four in particular. Mitchell, give us your four.
I think it's going to come down a lot to who can help in the punt and kick return game. And for that reason, I think it's going to be DeAndre Carter or Steven Sims. I have DeAndre Carter a little higher. But Pete mentioned Dax Milne, who I think is starting to turn some heads a little bit here. And he might be destined for the practice squad, but he's had a really solid camp for a guy who doesn't get a whole lot of time with any of the first team players or quarterbacks. So I think that he seems to be doing a good job of separating, and I'd be interested to see if he's able to get a couple reps. We've seen how much Ron Rivera likes to rotate in some folks with the first team. We've seen it on the offensive line. We've seen it with receivers some. I'd be interested to see if maybe he starts getting a couple reps there and see how he looks with maybe Fitz throwing to him and Terry on the other side taking away a little bit of coverage.
Shout out Chris Kerwin, who thought I was dying on the last pod. I just have a little bit of a cough. I can't shake it. I'm now taking Mucinex, if you're keeping score at home.
Is it regular Mucinex or Mucinex PM that is hurting your cough?
No, it is DM, though.
What does that mean?
I don't know. DMs are open, though.
Going down in
Mucinex
the DM.
DMs are open.
Nice.
This weather is so schizophrenic. It's now, like, boiling hot and sunny.
Yeah. I don't think I told you, by the way, one time I was trying to take NyQuil, and I was actually taking my girlfriend's a certain medication for my girlfriend that was definitely not supposed to be healing me.
How did you confuse those?
They were in...
Is it the kind of medication I think you're talking about?
It's
something that only women take?
Yes, but not for that cause, but something very closely related.
I'm very confused.
I've never taken NyQuil in my life, and she put that along with NyQuil in the NyQuil box, and I was pulling out the wrong one, and I was excreting orange. I don't know if I can see that.
Let's just keep it moving here.
Okay, I'll bleep that out.
No, leave it in.
For astute podcast listeners or non-astute podcast listeners,
did you say excreting?
Yeah.
JP had a run last year when he had a cold. And
I think it was 2 years.
Two years ago.
Yeah. And he was taking
we were in Nashville.
NyQuil during the day and DayQuil at night without
reverse
realizing
cycling.
That he was.
The colors screwed me up. Yeah. And I could not. I
extended your sickness by at least a couple
weeks. I couldn't push through. I was like, what is going on here?
Orange didn't feel like the sun for the day.
It wasn't until we got to Nashville, that week 16 game, I believe, when my buddy Phil's wife was like, hey, why are you taking that? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, you've got it backwards. Thank you. Shout out to Kelly.
I think Pete took a nap in the streets that night, too.
Yeah. Pete had his own NyQuil that night, or whatever else he's taking. I want to talk about – so, listen, Kelvin Harmon, if you're listening, I hope it works out somewhere else. I don't think they'll bring you back here, practice squad. I just don't see that happening, but you never know. I think you'll get picked up, too. Although, the waiver wire – probably would have happened by now. And I guess we got a couple more hours. We don't know when he was released yesterday, do we? Or was it released Saturday?
I think it was yesterday, because remember we were talking about how we weren't available to
Right, run. But I'm saying I don't know. Check the NFL wire here in a little while, which usually comes out at 4 o'clock.
Can we pin you down? Who's your guy? You were trying to pin Pete and I down. JP?
I think JP talked about it.
I don't think I was trying to pin anybody.
AGG's his guy.
I said AGG, AGG. Is who I think right now, and a lot of it's to do with the draft pick. But it brings us to our next discussion topic, which is Jarrett Patterson. And I think a lot of maybe that six wide receiver spot could be determined by special teams ability. I think Patterson obviously showed ability running and, more importantly, maybe turning some heads, catching the football in New England. He did both of those things pretty well. At this point, I don't know how you could watch his tape or whatever and think he's not a good runner, right? Like, we all know that. A little bowling ball type. The catching... the couple passes he caught, and he's shown it repeatedly here in camp, have been a big part of it. Ron Rivera revealed he's going to get him some punt return work. Today I saw it. I watched it happen. I think that's a big part of maybe him earning a roster spot, even possibly ahead of Peyton Barber.
Yeah. Saw him doing some kickoff return as well, and as Mitch updated us from his Sunday recap, he was handling his own and pass blocking. So trying to show that he's a complete player, not just a preseason darling.
I don't know that I'm ever a wet blanket here, but I like him a lot, Jarrett Patterson. I think he's been a fun player to watch, and he certainly was going to be and is the player that Washington football fans have fallen in love with this preseason. By no means is he a roster lock. And
No.
It's a competition at the back end to see maybe him versus Peyton Barber, or maybe there's a situation where they can keep a fourth running back if they only keep six receivers and or five receivers and – nine O-linemen. There's a situation that maybe they could keep four running backs. But if he's able to return kicks, then that changes that end of the receiver rotation, I think, dramatically. I think you can keep an AGG or a Dax Milne or somebody who's not necessarily someone who's returning those.
If he can return kicks, you know who that's really bad for? DeAndre Carter.
Oh, yes.
Like.
Yeah.
DeAndre... There's a path here for you, but if somebody's on it, that's a return to sender, basically.
Yeah, it's a big giant tree falling in the way of your path. And, of course, we're having this conversation because Pete's guy, Lamar Miller, is no longer a part of the picture. Great prediction there, a-hole.
So why do you take that so personally? You were very upset on the text thread.
I wasn't upset. I just was busy, and I didn't have time to go back and forth. I'm not taking it personally. It was right to call me out. I've been kind of blowing the Lamar Miller horn all camp and made it through one preseason game. So, stupid.
Well, I think the work he got in that preseason game, and really the work he's gotten so far, kind of told you where he was. It was the same with Harmon. Like, Ron, and on offense, not really Ron, but it's Scott and it's everybody, they are moving a lot of folks through. They want to see a lot of people get opportunity with the ones and the twos, especially the skill positions, which are relatively kind of just jigsaw puzzle pieces that you can, like, okay, we got this peg, now let's try this peg, and just operational functionality. But I never saw Miller going with the ones. I never saw Harmon going with the twos. Those guys, their path was kind of written,
I believe. My mistake, I think, was believing in Lamar Miller, the past guy, and looking at his stats, as opposed to really focusing in on what he should be able to do in the future, because in theory, Lamar Miller is better than Peyton Barber, but in present standing, not sure that was the case, and that's why he's no longer a part of this organization.
Well, I think as we start looking at this cut down from 90 to 85, 88, that the team's at now to 85, dudes that aren't getting any work with the group above them, if you're a third teamer and you're not getting any work with the second team or a fourth teamer with the third team, whatever it may be, probably your path is pretty written.
It is written.
So it's said, so it's written, right?
Something so, like sure. Do you think what's your running back roster right now, August 16th, 2:22 p.m.?
I'm starting to warm up to the four running backs.
Where are you earning the spot from?
I think they're going to only go 9-0 linemen, so I think that's kind of one spot. If you go 6 wide receivers, 4 running backs, that's 10, 9-0 linemen, 19, 3 quarterbacks, 3 tight ends, that gets you to 25, and that's your offensive group.
All right. You know, I clearly have such a good grasp on the running back picture, so I'm just going to knock this one in here. I still think it's 3. Try and sneak Patterson onto the practice squad, but I understand after a few more preseason games, that's going to be hard to do. So, but the staff loves Barber, and he's really good at that one thing that they like him to do. And while I might not value that skill set as much as they do, they're the ones making the decisions.
It stands out to me that they gave Patterson the first goal line carry in New England after he made the catch to get them to the goal line. They gave him the first one. He couldn't punch it in. I think they went play action on second, and then they brought in Barber. That matters. Like, that is situational football where they want him to do it. I think it's too early. I don't see them keeping 4 running backs. I think we're ash burning ourselves a little bit saying you can't get Patterson to the practice squad. There's a lot of running backs out there that probably had 70 total yards in preseason game one.
We're through one. I agree. We're through one preseason game. I think he's going to continue to get enough work to make it to make turn eyes. So I think that he's going to be tough to get through the practice squad.
We'll see. A lot of football left. His body of work from Buffalo was wildly impressive, and nobody drafted him, including this team.
I think it's easy to get caught up on a guy who's 5 foot.
7.
5.
Luckily, if that.
Yeah, like 5 foot 6.
I'd say he's 7.
Anyway, I think you look at metrics and people fall in love with some of the combine numbers, and you can overlook somebody based on a height or based on a size, and play speed is much different than underwear Olympics 40-yard dash.
I hear you. I just think it's premature to say they wouldn't be able to sneak him through. Whatever.
I look bad in underwear and in the game speed. I would not be drafted anywhere.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
One more conversation about the tight ends.
Okay.
Do we have Cam Curl after this?
Yes, we do.
So we got an interview with Cam Curl. That Cam is just such a nice, humble young man. It was. I think you'll enjoy it. Your money back if you don't enjoy it. This is also free, so before any lawyer starts coming at me. I think the tight end position got thrown into significant flux Thursday in New England. And let's just table Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas is QB1. I think if you want him in fantasy, take him around tight end one, rather. If you want him in fantasy, take him around earlier than you think you have to get him, because somebody else is going to get him, and you're going to be pissed. I think he's going to be a monster. I think he'll have double-digit touchdowns. The rest of the situation, listen, I mean, Pete said the Miller thing. I was really high on Tamarik Hemingway. He didn't play well.
He stunk.
He had a bad drop, got smoked in blocking. Now he's in concussion protocol. That's tough, and nobody knows what will happen. Ricky Seals-Jones had some catches today. Couldn't haul in a big catch in the preseason game. Meanwhile, John Bates, who we've had on the roster all along, we've had the working IR theory with Samus Reyes. I think those two might be back moving up.
Yeah, Ron's saying Samus might be our most physical player on the roster.
I think some of that is to challenge the other guys to be more physical.
Absolutely.
But Samus isn't scared to try.
Yeah.
It's not always effective, and he's learning, but he's sure as hell not scared to try.
I think it's now a fair point to bring up what you tweeted video-wise, JP.
Yeah, just that. I mean, it was a half hour after practice. And you always see guys hitting the jugs machines, always. And sometimes you'll see quarterbacks working with receivers. Sam is just out there working on blocking technique.
Well, he hit the jugs machine first and then hit up the blocking technique. He talked about it at the podium a little bit yesterday about how he knows that he's big and strong. We've all seen it. But getting the right technique to go along with that makes a huge difference. And early in camp, he was getting beat up a little bit because he kept showing his chest and he wasn't able to throw his hands at the guy. He didn't know enough to throw his hands at the blockers as they were going through the drills. And he said he's starting to feel the strength come with the technique. And you saw it a couple times on Thursday against New England. He had the one down block he was on the left side of the line, and he basically wiped out the entire D line with a DN kind of washing him away. And those are the kind of plays that stand out to coaches. Now, granted, he had one or two other plays where he
swung and missed,
but that was his very first ever football game. It was in the NFL, in pads, against another team. I think that he showed quite well. And Bates, I think we can all agree, is on the roster, right? I think
we know that
both Bates and Logan Thomas are on the roster. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at number three, because like JP, I had seen a lot from Tamarik Hemingway here in practice, but just like with Taylor Heinicke, sometimes you find a guy who's a gamer, and those Samus Reyes catches weren't pretty. They were double clutched, but he made the plays, and sometimes it's about going out there and making plays.
Yeah, and I mean, Ricky Seals-Jones kind of botched it on Thursday too, but he's a guy who's played in the NFL and has some stats to back it up. So if you want to go Bates as the rookie and RSJ is a guy who at least can do a little bit on Sundays, maybe that's the move. But him and Tamarik are kind of similar, where they've been veterans but haven't done a whole lot. But do have something to hang their helmets on.
So we did our Channel 4 piece today, which will air at, I assume, like 5:45 and 6:45.
Yeah.
Make sure you check that out. NBC4 working for you. But our piece today was on Reyes. It was on a couple things, but it was on Reyes. Reyes got emotional talking about his journey yesterday. Reyes had the moment in New England that was so cool when a fan threw a Chilean flag down to him, and he picked it up and was waving it around. But
that was a New England Revolution player.
He
was,
the dude
was all decked out in New England Patriots gear, and after the fact, in my mentions or whatever, someone pointed out that he's a soccer player from Chile.
That's really cool. So our producer at Channel 4 is Heather McDonough, who does a great job, and she, as we were kind of like going through our rundown of what to do, we were all set, and then she sent another text. She's like, "Be sure to stress this was his first football game ever." And I don't know that we're reminding ourselves of that enough. This was his first football game ever.
Yeah.
Not his first professional game, not his first preseason game. This was his first football game ever.
Yeah, with refs and whistles and time mattering and
getting
all that.
Hit,
yeah. Opposing teams, you know, like getting tackled to the ground.
Yeah, this is a guy who his tight end coach from the IMG told me didn't know what an audible was, didn't know how to line up in certain ways, had to text him at midnight with just the most basic-ass questions, and now he's catching passes against the Patriots.
Just remarkable. A really cool story to keep track of. I want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the exact same thing. I have a couple more things before we get to Cam Curl. Anybody else have anything? Because I'm doing wackies a little bit.
Should we do one thing serious? Or?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Do one thing.
I have a one thing that might actually lead to a discussion, but if we want to keep the things
moving,
that's
fine.
Okay.
I'm okay.
William Jackson III. So
you're always worried.
Yeah, I'm.
You have angst.
I have angst, and it's not just because of him. Although he hasn't had the strongest camp, it's because we've seen this before with here and in the NFL as a whole. Josh Norman here, guys like Nnamdi Asamoah elsewhere. Stud corners going from one team to another and not fitting in. And it's always the age-old debate, how do you, do you go with the player's skill set and do what he does best? You try and fit him into a system. How do you balance it? And I asked Ron today, and Ron kind of laid out, like, look, in Cincinnati, he was playing man. He had his back to the quarterback all the time. Here, we play with our eyes using the eyes at the quarterback, playing through the receiver, and in theory that will hopefully allow William to make more interceptions. But we had William talking yesterday. I wasn't here, but I read the transcripts, and almost every other question he was saying, this is 100% new to me. This is all new to me. I'm getting comfortable. I'm getting used to it. I like the zone scheme. I don't think he's going to say he doesn't, but it's easy to say that and then have issues with it. So I'm just going to continue to say I'm watching William Jackson III. I hope they get it right. I hope this is not another cornerback who switches teams and kind of loses his ability. So that is just my one thing. It's a bigger thing, but it's one thing. I'm watching number 23 to see how these coaches use it.
All right, Peter's on the books. What do you got, big man?
Mine was going to be a lot more lighthearted than questioning the big defensive offseason signing.
Not questioning yet. I'm just
noting.
Earmarking.
It. Earmarking.
Yeah.
Woodworking.
Woodworking. Our good friend of the pod, Tress Way, was at the podium today, which is remarkable that the team punter is
for like 25 minutes
forever and answered all the questions. And Pete touched on it a little bit, but just about how detailed he was talking about the field goal kicking mechanism. And I thought that was fun. What I was going to bring up was the rookie hazing that they're getting to do a little bit with Cameron Cheeseman. We know
who asked that question.
Yeah,
I think Mitch.
Yeah,
we know that. We know that Hop and Tress both like to have a little bit of fun. And so I figured that there'd be some wackies going on between them and the guy they're calling Cheese. And it's fun. They created a little fine system for him. He tells a bad story, doesn't answer a trivia question well. They fine him, and the money all goes towards his rookie dinner at the end of the season where he's going to take him out for a steak. But there are I don't know if there are two better people on the on the fun meter to help initiate a rookie and create some fun little games and stuff for them. I kind of thought Tress was going to be like, was going to ask him to bring in like his favorite barbecue sauce or like some kind of real off the wall thing. But they're excited about him. I think Tress kept saying that Cheese snaps the cover off the ball, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Which I imagine is going to be fun for his hands catching all the short snaps on the field goals and the long snaps on the punts. But it was fun talking to Tress. Always good to hear from him. Always good to give him his shine because he is the only All Pro this team has had. And oh no, that's
Sheriff just had one.
Pro Bowler, whatever. Keep going.
That was a hell of a finish, Mitch. Yeah. Mitch ran 26 miles and then fell over on the point two.
The fact that I ran 26 is wild.
I have two things. I have two one things. Good to see Matt Ioannidis back out there. The guy is such a disruptive force in the defensive front, and I think because of the weirdness of his camp so far and COVID issues, whatever the hell, we haven't talked about him a lot, but I think he could be a big time factor. My second one thing, Pete's scrambling around. What are you doing?
I just am writing down a to-do list item before I forget.
Smart. If I don't remember them and write them down, I'm toast.
Yeah, it's something for Wednesday too.
Well, what is it?
To submit my keepers for a fantasy league.
Attaboy. My second thing, I just saw the Washington football team tweeted this out. How on earth did Madden, which I don't play many video games anymore, but Madden's probably the game I've played the most in my life. I respect the most. I understand the most. I enjoy the most. Have you seen the picture of Terry McLaurin from the last year's game?
Oh, yeah.
To this year's game? How the hell did they botch that picture so bad in what was his second season?
Yeah.
I could get it if his rookie year they had a bad picture for him. But that is awful. That's another person.
Yeah, I think that's a thing, too, because you know how they had that board.
Kind of looks like Jeremy Reeves a little bit.
In Richmond, where and I think Terry said, I don't care what my rating is as long as they get my face right. And they finally did. But it's really weird how one of the rising players in this sport just gets completely disrespected like that.
I mean, that is crazy. I'm retweeting this right now.
Yeah.
No better way to humble yourself, to stay humble, than recognize that the video game doesn't know who the hell you are.
Yeah, I mean, that is wild. So one more Twitter thing, and I don't know anything.
I know a lot.
Oh, no. Is this the name? Are you doing names?
I'm not doing name bits.
Okay, good.
Ron Rivera, the head coach, tweeted out today, I was kindly reminded by one of our fans who obviously contributed greatly to this gift and donation that I personally didn't express my gratitude to our fan base for such a nice gesture. I've been a little busy, but thank you very much, and I appreciate all your support. It's a picture of Ron holding boxing gloves. They look like personalized. What is this?
So,
I got 30 seconds for this topic.
I think Jason Wright tweeted this out a week or two ago. It was him, Ron, holding the same boxing gloves. Don't know what they're for. Don't know. But
I'm sure it's a charity thing.
Jason himself said thank you, and I think Ron is just saying thank you, too. I don't know what the boxing gloves are for. And also, the boxing gloves were upside down in the previous picture. I think they're right side up here. That's all I got. Anything to add, Mitchell?
I got nothing on the boxing gloves. Ron's a busy man taking care of a lot of different things.
I just hope.
I'm sure a lot went into those boxing gloves, and it was a appreciated gesture from Ron and the Rivera family. But
do you know how much stuff probably gets sent to Ron?
We get a lot of stuff, and we're dummies hosting a podcast. He's a beloved
They are cool boxing gloves.
It looks very cool. I don't know what's going on here, but I would hope that we're not bugging Ron to thank him for stuff to get sent to him. Right?
Yeah.
That's all. I don't know anything. They're very cool-looking boxing gloves. There's like a picture of him and his riverboat logo and all that. Oh, another thing. I got a lot of things.
Yeah, you're full of it.
I got a thing then.
We should not at all be criticizing Ron for not going for it on 4th-and-1 in a preseason game. Okay?
Nope. Yeah.
Just want to be clear on that.
How about calling timeout and then them ripping off the 90-yard run after that?
I loved it. You know why I called timeout? To try to give
Montez
a chance.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I thought that was cool. He's just trying to get the guy some playing time because he's probably not going to get much in a real game.
I don't think he threw a single pass today. Yeah. I saw.
Last thing, unless other people have won.
The Washington football team put out their new inside access piece looking at the name change. And at some point, I think close to the end of it, there's Jason Wright, Ron Rivera, and I'm not sure who the other person was. Only that I don't remember. Not that I don't know who it is. And they are talking about the name options, and they beeped out. They blurred their mouths and beeped out the name.
Is it officially down to 3 names?
They're saying
Brian
because
McNally's asking me to confirm that
because Jason Wright said, "Hey, these are the 3 that I'm looking at: X, Y, and Z." Fans are slow mowing, you know, doing everything that they do to try and read lips or guess what those 3 names are. So, good luck.
Calling my shot. Commanders. I've been calling that shot. I just want it on the record.
Yeah, I don't know if you've called it on this podcast.
Okay.
So that's a pretty seminal moment right there.
I think it's going to be Commanders.
I got Sentinels.
I don't have a scoop. No one's telling me. It's just what I think.
Yeah, I think both of you are in the correct neighborhood. Something DC related.
What is yours? Sentinels?
Like
Sentinels.
That was from the movie, right? The Keanu joint?
Well, it's also the
pain heals, chicks dig scars, but glory lasts forever.
The guards of the
galaxy,
unnamed.
How many
unnamed soldiers?
Have you seen any
Sentinels?
Of the like Thanos movies? What the hell? Whatever the hell that stuff
Avengers,
is.
Avengers, Marvel.
How many have you
universe?
Seen?
0.
I was gonna say, let's all try to name as many of those people as like the superheroes.
Do you know how mad
we're gonna go in order? I get to start.
This is so much fun. This is the best podcast ever.
Iron Man.
Black Widow.
Superman.
Not
wrong
one of
universe.
Them. All right, you lost.
You're out.
That's it.
That's the wrong universe?
Yep, that's DCU.
Fine, Green Hornet. That's Ant-Man.
You've already lost, dude. Yeah. You're already out. Now you're just shouting things. Yeah. You've already lost.
Have you not? I learned from you.
It's heads up.
Can we go back? Yeah, heads up.
Wait,
yeah.
What universe? Is this Marvel or the other
Marvel,
one?
Marvel, you're out,
I don't know.
Someone mute Mitch.
But unplug his mic.
Good luck, Pete.
Captain America.
Okay. Mitch already said Ant-Man. Why am I? I'm getting kind of nervous here. Just calm down, Peter. Spit one out here.
Ooh, I think I got one.
Who is Jeremy Renner's character?
Oh. Mitch is so mad he's out.
I'm panicking.
He's like
Black Panther?
You're not. You're out.
Mitch, stop.
You're out.
I get 5 seconds. I'm just psyching myself out. 5, 4.
Three. Right,
Pete's done.
I lost. There's
cool.
So many more.
That's perfect, because I didn't have one, and I was going to go with Black Panther.
So stupid. There's so many more. Yeah.
Folks are going to be real mad about this small little segment.
Here's another thing.
I don't care.
I don't know who or what Thanos is. Is he a good guy or bad guy?
He's
like the ultimate bad guy.
He broke the universe
by putting his hands together.
Yeah.
Is he the guy with the hand? The gems?
He's got the giant hand that Chris Bryant always has. Okay. All right. That's it.
Oh, Thor was so obvious. Hawkeye was just, I was trying to think of, but Thor.
Did you go Black Widow?
I want it to be known.
It's Scarlett Johansson.
She's out right now.
I want it to be known that I just won the comic book contest.
I don't even know it's a comic book contest.
And
that's a good
I'm not a comic book guy.
No. Congratulations. So, we should get you a crown for that.
Lastly, a little tickler file for the calendar. Ooh. I don't know. I think this is confirmed, but we don't have copy on it yet. September 2nd.
I've heard that date, too.
September 2nd. Leave your calendar open.
Possibly.
And if you'd like to perhaps be in or around National Harbor, perhaps at a casino, perhaps doing fantasy football drafts with the fellas, maybe with some beers and some chicken wings and some sports on television.
And some casinoing, maybe.
And playing blackjack.
If the casino exists.
Doubling down. Rolling some dice.
I'm excited about a little blackjack.
I believe.
How'd that little guy get under there?
I believe September 2nd is a Thursday night, and there'd be college football on TV that you could wager on.
Oh, boy.
Put that in your tickler file. Everybody, not just us.
Yeah.
Everybody is hypothetically welcome should there be an event that night.
That tickles me to no end.
Some folks might see some real
degeneracy.
Just make
sure you take the right medicine, Pete.
Yeah.
Before you get tickled too much and start excreting orange again.
Orange.
Yay, yay, yay.
You want to know what the new comic book character should be?
Orange Man.
Enough.
The orange excretion.
Let's go to Cam Curl.
Orange excretion.
That is disgusting. Let's go to Cam Curl. Thank you for listening. You made it this far. I owe you a beer. It is a pleasure to get to sit down and talk with rookie sensation, now sophomore starter, safety Cam Curl. Cam, how's camp going, man?
It's going pretty good. You know, I feel like as a whole team, we're making strides to get better than we were last year, so that's always a good thing to see.
How different does this feel for you? This time last year, you're fighting for a roster spot. Now, I mean, you really were a breakout player last season. Now you're a starter or competing for that spot. How different does all that feel?
I mean, it's different. I'd say the only way it's different is, like, on the depth chart. Because in my mind, I'm still putting my mind, like, I'm still fighting for a roster spot. You know what I'm saying? I feel like if you got that mindset, then you're not going to get comfortable. I don't want to get too comfortable and, like, make the same mistakes as last year. So just keeping that pressure on myself is just trying to get better.
What areas are you specifically trying to get better?
Mostly like the mental part of the game. Just like I said, anticipating stuff before the snap. Like just learning from guys like Lando and Bobby who've been in the league for so long, you know, who know what's really going on before it happens. So just learning from them, I feel like it's going to make me better.
So Landon Collins, when you really started to come on kind of the second half of last year, Collins was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Collins is back. What's it like being out there together with him?
It's great. I mean, that's the guy I used to watch in high school and college, you know what I'm saying? So just being out there with him and feeding off how he plays, you know, and he's going to be out there and communicating, so that's going to help me communicate too, you know what I'm saying? So just being out there and just trying not to let him down, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be on the same field as him, so I got to play up to his level.
And McCain is a guy that's new here, but he just has a natural leadership. What's that kind of DB room like with Landon, McCain, veterans like Kendall and now William Jackson?
It's great. You know, I like it because it's like a good learning experience. It's a good place to learn from all them. You know, they guys who played at different organizations and played against all these quarterbacks. You know, this all you can do is just take tid for tid, like the thoughts. You know, just learning from them every day, just taking little bits of that and just like stacking that up every day.
Are people looking to you too? Is a guy like Derek Forrest asking you for advice?
Yeah.
Is that a unique spot for you?
Yeah, it is. It's like it's different, you know, kind of, you know. But I mean, I'm helping him out because, like, just naturally defense, it's gonna come quicker to me. I feel like so just being able to help him out, you know, I feel like it's gonna make him a better player. So as many great players as we can get in that secondary room, it's only gonna get better.
Certainly, and I think especially with defensive backs, like, you just want a collection of the best players. How much is that position flex that Ron always talks about happening between corners and safeties? Like, I mean, you kind of got your break playing that Buffalo nickel role, right?
Yeah.
And now you're on the safety. Like, could you go back into that? What's your flexibility?
Yeah, I can always go back to the Buffalo position, you know what I'm saying? Bobby can play nickel, you know, K Fool can play nickel or outside or be back at safety. So just having those type of players is just going to make the defense more, it's going to put speed on the field, and it's going to bring other opportunities for other guys to step in.
You played major college football with thousands and thousands of screaming fans.
Mm-hmm.
Your rookie year, there's no fans.
Yeah.
Just that little bit of taste at New England last week. When you guys were coming off the field, that mob scene for autographs and gloves with all the fans screaming, how excited are you to be back with fans in the stands?
I'm very excited. You know, it was kind of weird last year, you know, just being out there quiet for, like, scrimmages. You know what I'm saying? You could hear the coaches on the sideline, all that. So just I feel like it's going to be exciting, you know, just the extra energy that the fans are going to bring. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be fun.
How different is your interaction with fans now that you're a big name? Cam Curl, they get fired up.
I mean, it's cool. You know, I got fans hitting me up and stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's still different. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't feel like that. But you know, I appreciate everybody who supports me and stuff. You know, I love it.
Pretty much same coaching staff. You got Ron, Jack, Chris Harris, your position coach.
Mm-hmm.
Are they talking to you, treating you a little bit differently?
I wouldn't say, like, just different, but it's like they expect stuff now. You know, last year they didn't know much about me, so they didn't know really what to expect. So now it's just, you know, being able to be responsible and just doing what they know me to do. You know what I'm saying? Keep me tight.
What's it like going against Fitz every day?
Oh, it's fun. You know what I'm saying? He throwing no-look passes and stuff like that. So it's keeping you on your toes, keeping you honest. So it's fun.
Cam, thank you very much, man.
Thank you
for having
me.
Good luck this season.
Thank you.
You want to know what the new comic book character should be?
Orange Man.
Enough.
The Orange Excretion.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.